flown. I have sailed. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
And you are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 103.1, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge.
How are things in Glacamora? Oh, that little brook still leaping there. Does it still run down to Donegal through Killybegs, Kilkerry and Kildare? How are things in Glacamora? Is that willow tree still weeping there? Does that lassie with the twinkling eye come smiling by? And does she walk away sad and dreamy there, not to see me there? So I ask each weeping willow and each brook along the way, and each lass who comes a-sighing, ooh-la-lay. How are things in Glacamora this fine day?
This is Bruce Kaplan welcoming you back to another episode of Radio Masterpieces, an exclusive broadcast on Valley 103.1, the best little station in our wonderful nation. Tonight, we have two great shows for you. We begin with a fantastic episode of The Whistler and conclude with another classic from the Richard Diamond series. In the second program, Richard Diamond, played by Dick Powell, is going to sing a wonderful song. The lyrics written by Seattleite Al Hoffman and the song's title, If I Knew You Were Coming, I'd Have Baked a Cake. Hoffman, the author of the song, was a graduate of Seattle's Garfield High School. He was a very close friend of my late father's, who also went to Garfield. As a matter of fact, I went to Garfield too. Dick Powell was known as a song and dance man, but in 1944, he starred in the now classic film noir, Murder, My Sweet. After that, he starred in many more mysteries. In the Richard Diamond series, Powell plays a detective with a lot of wit. If you have any suggestions for this program, please don't hesitate to write to me at bruce@radiomasterpieces.com. Well, now it's time to enjoy our two great shows. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Kelly never knew exactly when it was that he decided to kill her. Thinking it over afterwards, he realized that murder is something like a pot boiling over. The fire's underneath for a long time and nothing happens. Then all at once, the heat reaches a certain point and there it blows. And you look back in horror to find you kill someone. The odd thing, of course, was that right to the end, it wasn't that he hated Janet. She had a kind of charm. She was capable. And she was attractive enough that, on the right kind of a spring day, with the sunlight filtering through the leaves of an oak tree, hitting her face just right, a fellow like Kelly might think he was in love with her. At least, that's how it started 3 years ago.
Kelly?
Yes?
Another sandwich?
Oh, no. No thanks, Janice. I'm full up.
What's happened to your appetite?
I don't know. Maybe it's a symptom.
Oh?
Will you do something for me, Janice?
What, darling?
Tell me something, honestly.
All right.
I came to this town out of nowhere, really. I'm a failure, 29 years old, been fired from the greatest assortment of jobs in captivity. I meet you at a party. From then on, everything's different.
Is it, Kelly?
Yeah, sure. You gave me a build-up with your boss at the Star Realty Company. He puts me on as a salesman. And suddenly, for the first time in my life, I'm a success. Why?
Well, it's simple. You're a good salesman.
No, that's not what I mean. What I want to know is, why did you do it for me?
Oh.
Now, you said you'd be honest.
Oh, maybe I have the interests of the Star Realty Company at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I just like you. Come on, have another sandwich. I don't want to take them back.
All right.
I want to go over the escrow papers on that Williamson deal again.
Oh, no, not now. Don't you ever relax?
Well, I'm relaxed.
Come on, come on. Lean back and take your glasses off.
Oh, all right, all right. That better?
Mm-hmm. You ought to take them off more often.
I'm blind as a bat without them.
What's the difference? You're not looking at the wolves. They're looking at you.
Like they're looking at me?
Oh, they better not. I don't want anybody else to look at you like this.
Don't talk like that, Janice. Not unless you really mean it.
I do mean it, Janice. I'm crazy about you. Oh, I know I'm not much of a guy, and I'll never know why you bothered with me. But, Janice, I want to marry you. You won't be sorry. I'll work hard and be a success.
That's enough, Kelly.
Oh, please, please listen to me.
I heard all I want to hear when you said you loved me. Aren't you going to kiss me, darling?
Just like that, Kelly. A boy, a girl, a picnic on a green knoll at the edge of town, and it's over. She's Janice Jameson now. You have a small home together, and each morning you commute to town in your jobs with the Star Realty Company. But Janice isn't satisfied, Kelly. She talks of nothing but of the two of you in business together, Jameson and Jameson Real Estate Brokers. It would take more than you could ever save on your salaries, of course. And it was about then you began to wonder if she'd ever be satisfied. Perhaps it was then, too, that the fire began to burn under the kettle, and the temperature slowly but surely started to rise.
And here's a letter for Kennelly and Botsworth. Gentlemen, with reference to the lease on the property at Lilium Way and Gladstone Boulevard, we are informed that the present holder is perfectly... Oh, yes, Janice?
Could I speak to you for a moment?
Well, I'm tied up. Couldn't it wait?
No, please, right now.
All right. Excuse me, Miss Eldridge. Now, what's it all about?
Kelly, our chance has come.
What are you talking about?
Jameson and Jameson, remember?
Oh, that. All right, Janice. What do we use for money?
Oh, look. Look at the teletype from New York offering $40,000 for the corner of 8th and Maple.
But Knowles has an option on that corner for 30, hasn't he?
Did have, you mean? It expired yesterday.
But shouldn't we tell Knowles? Give him a chance
to... He won't be back until next Wednesday. Well, there's no way I can get in touch with him. Honest, darling, Knowles will be tickled pink when he knows he's grabbed his chance to start on our own. He's a big man, more ways than one.
I know, that's
Listen, Kelly, I tried my best to get Knowles to renew his option. He said that corner would never be worth anything. Listen, $10,000 for it. On a $1,500 investment. Now, you run right down to the bank and get a certified check. I'll teletype New York that Knowles no longer holds the option.
Well, I hope you know what you're doing.
Oh, I do know, and I know something else, too.
Hmm?
In a few days, we'll have a brand new office with a nice glass door in Jameson and Jameson. And sign that Jameson and Jameson, that's all.
Jameson and Jameson. Mm-hmm. I'll have it right out.
You made a slight error, Janice.
What?
Not Jameson and Jameson. Jameson and Stooge.
Please. Kelly, let's not get into that again.
Why not?
Here.
Why not? Let's be honest. You've got the brains, I run the errand. You set up the deals on paper, I go through the motions.
Well, that's not true.
This Brewster deal, for instance. A nice, clean little deal. I'm all set to handle it myself.
Kelly, you're just being silly. There were just a few things you hadn't considered. I thought it might help if I wrote them out for you, that's all.
There's something I don't think you realize yet, Angel. I'm really not a backward kid at all. Why, you act like I'm not quite right.
You're wrong, Kelly. I think you're the best salesman in the business.
Ah.
Besides, you're my husband, I love you. Now, what difference does it make which one of us does
that? None. But why can't you give me credit for some intelligence once in a while?
Listen.
Why, you're not my wife anymore. You're a business machine.
Darling.
As cold as a piece of steel.
You don't realize what you're saying.
Sit down. I'm not through.
Kelly, no.
For once, you're going to listen. I'm your husband, Janice.
Kelly.
Your business partner.
Please.
Not a pet spaniel you lead around on a leash.
Kelly. Oh.
Janice. Janice. Oh, Janice, I'm sorry. Oh, good Lord.
Yes, Mr. Jameson?
This is Mr. Jameson. Get a doctor up here. Hurry. I think Mrs. Jameson had a heart attack.
Looking down at her now, you have a queer sense of guilt when you realize that you've actually been wishing something like this would happen. Anything to free you, give you back your independence and self-respect. Yes, Kelly, you're sorry and ashamed. And you almost take the kettle off the fire before it reaches the boiling point, particularly as you hear the doctor telling you it was a heart attack, that Janice will have to stay in bed and rest with a day nurse in attendance. But that's what changes it all right back again. The nurse's name is Vera, and there's something like music in the deep, cloudy blue of her eyes. Something about her voice, the youthful grace of her that sets your heart racing, makes you think that here is everything you missed in your marriage to Janet.
Good morning, Vera. How's the patient?
I just don't know, Mr. Jameson.
Kelly.
Mr. Jameson.
Check.
She seems to think the doctor's all wrong, that it's silly to think of heart trouble at her age.
Well, that's the way she is.
Well, something has to be done about it. She says it's all foolish and that she's going to get up and go back to work.
I know. I've been over that with her several times.
Well, you ought to talk to her, Mr. Jameson.
Kelly, what good would it do for me to talk to her?
Well, after all, you are her husband.
Yeah. Sometimes I wonder.
What do you mean?
Oh, stupid.
Kelly, is that you?
Yes, Janice. I'm coming.
It was sweet of you to take me home, Mr. Jameson.
Kelly.
Why do you keep insisting that I call you Kelly?
Do I?
Every night you've taken me home. How long has it been now? 3 weeks? 4?
23 days.
Oh, did you keep a record of it?
Uh-huh. In the back of my head. If you want details, I can tell you what happened on every one of those days, too.
You have a very good memory.
It's easy. When you have a reason to remember.
You ought to go on the stage. Professor Jameson's Memory Act or something. Well, I'd better go in now.
Oh, no, please. Just a minute more.
I've got some work to do. I might go on another case soon. And
another case? Vera, what are you talking about?
Well, I won't be on this one forever, you know.
But Vera, it's out of the question. She's a sick woman alone in the house and... Oh, why lie about it? I think you know why I'm talking this way, Vera.
Yes, I do.
I love you.
I'd better go in.
Oh, no, Vera, I...
Kelly, please.
Vera, darling.
Kelly.
I know.
If only you were free.
I'll be free, Vera. I'll...
What do you mean, Kelly?
I don't know, Vera. I don't know.
It was strange, Kelly. You didn't know it, but that night in the car, the last night you took Vera home, a murder was taking shape. A murder made of several things. Of your love for Vera, of Jameson and Jameson, and $20,000 in the company account. And naturally, of Janet. She'd never give you up, Kelly. You're sure of that. And the next day, as you sit alone in your office, you're wondering about alternatives. Puzzled. Even a little frightened by the sudden, impulsive thing that popped into your head as you said goodnight to Vera.
I'll be free, Vera. I'll...
What do you mean, Kelly?
Yes, Kelly. What did you mean? You thrust it out of your mind. Try to concentrate on the stack of letters in your desk. And then, just before noon...
Jameson speaking.
Well, Kelly, this is Mac.
Oh, hi. Hi, Mac. What's on your mind?
I've been trying to reach you people. May have run onto something. Not sure.
Well, what is it?
Well, I had dinner last night with one of the lawyers from Mayberry and Company.
Yeah?
He had a few drinks and sort of got to talking.
Oh, about what?
A property deal. It seems that Mayberry and Company are going to put up a 6-story branch on the corner of 84th and Pine.
What? Why, that's way out in the middle of nowhere.
It's straight stuff, Kelly.
Oh, say, anybody else know about this?
I don't think so. The whole thing's been on the QT. They picked up that corner for a song. Wish I'd had it.
Well, never mind that. Maybe the surrounding property will go for the same kind of a song.
Yeah, that's what I wondered about.
Why, in a year, maybe 18 months, there'll be a whole community out there. And if we had the lots, why, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, you think so?
Oh, no doubt about it. Gee, I'm glad you called me, Mac.
Yeah, well, I really wanted to talk to Janice, Kelly. If she thinks it sounds
Janice isn't well, you know that.
Yeah.
Now, look, we'll have to move fast on this, Mac. I'll tell you what we'll do.
Wait a minute, Kelly. Not that fast. It's a $40,000 investment. I'm not going ahead until we have her opinion.
What's the matter with you? I'm running the office now.
Maybe, maybe not. This is a big thing.
I realize that, Mac.
You're lucky to have someone like Janice to turn to.
Yeah, but, Mac, I...
Listen, either talk it over with her or count me out, Kelly. I have a lot of faith.
Skip it. I'll get back to you.
Okay, I'll be waiting.
Janice. What does he take me for? I'll go ahead with it alone if he doesn't want to... What? Janice!
Surprise. Am I interrupting something big?
Well, never mind that. What are you doing here? I thought
that... I belonged in bed? I know, Dr. Allen thought the same thing. But today he had to admit it was all brought on by strain, overwork. The rest did it. I'm fit as a fiddle.
Yeah, but
I'm back on the job, that's all. Aren't you glad, darling?
Why, of course, naturally. But what about Vera?
What about Vera? Well, I dismissed her. Is that what you mean?
Well, do you think it was the wise thing to do?
Don't you? Now I'm well, I certainly don't need a nurse. Tell me, what are you so excited about? Who are you talking to?
Oh, it wasn't anything.
Oh, now don't tell me that. You're bursting with it. Come on, you've got a hot tip. Well, tell me about it, darling. Who's buying what from who, and who thinks we ought to be in on it?
I tell you, it's nothing, Janice. I... All right. It was Mac.
Oh?
Yeah, listen. Mayberry and Company are building at 84th and Pine. We've got a chance to buy the surrounding lots.
And you're all for it.
Well, who wouldn't be?
Me.
What? Well, now, wait a minute. This is the biggest thing that's ever hit this office.
It sure is, and it could knock us flat. No, we're not going into it without examining
it. But there isn't time.
Then it isn't a deal.
Isn't a deal? Janice, do you realize what you're saying?
Well, I think so. If we can't look before we leap, it's not for us, Kelly. I suppose Mac has it wrong.
Oh.
What if they don't deal? Then we're left with a row of weed-covered lots that'll never be worth a thing.
Yeah, but if they do build...
It's a mighty big if. Now, where did Mac hear about it?
Oh, one of their lawyers. He had dinner with him. The guy started talking.
Why?
What do you mean, why? He had some drinks, that's why.
Are you sure? How well does Mac know?
Oh, for the love of...
How do we know it wasn't a setup to get all of us worrying about the 84th Street section while they quietly buy up things somewhere else in town?
Janice, you have to take chances sometimes.
Sure you do. I've taken plenty of chances. But not with everything we've got.
But we might make enough to pull out to forget the whole business.
Is that what you want to do, Kelly?
What do you mean? Why don't you say what's on your mind? That you're as suspicious of me as you are of every one of your deals. It's
Kelly,
the truth, Janice.
Oh, you're wrong, darling. I've always trusted you. Even while I was ill. If you think I'm suspicious of you, there must be a reason.
Maybe there is.
No, you don't mean that. Listen, Kelly, it was 2 years ago today we bought the cabin, do you remember?
Yes, and we've been up there once since.
Let's go once more, Kelly, right now, right away.
Oh, but what about the Mayberry deal? Mac is waiting to
Let's
hear from us.
Let's forget that. At least till we get back from the cabin, maybe we can think more clearly up there. And when we come back, we may feel differently about a lot of things.
I don't know. I'm supposed to drive out to the Paxtons tomorrow. They want an appraisal on the ranch. Maybe some other time, Janice.
You can go by the Paxtons, too. From their place, you can come up the back road to the cabin.
Huh?
I'll drive up the main road and meet you there tomorrow afternoon.
What time?
2:00, Kelly.
All right, Janice. 2:00 at the cabin. I'll be waiting for you.
At the moment you agree to meet Janice, the kettle is beginning to boil, isn't it, Kelly? The first tiny bubbles are rising dangerously close to the rim, threatening to pour over, and there's no way to stop them. It's the same the next day as you drive up to the cabin. And grinding up the narrow mountain road, you admit to yourself that the Paxton Ranch was just an excuse, that you weren't even thinking of keeping your appointment there. You were thinking of an old wooden bridge, a bridge over a 200-foot drop straight down, a bridge that Janice would have to cross to reach the cabin. What you have to do is simple. A few bolts removed from the right places and the bridge is ready. It's loosened ancient support, certain to give way under the weight of the next car to cross. You stand at the brink for a moment looking down, then walk back to the cabin. Approaching the porch, you stop suddenly, staring. Mac's car is there, parked next to yours. You move forward stiffly, slowly, wondering if Mac saw you at the bridge. At the door, you take a deep breath and brace yourself before going inside.
Well, decided to come back, huh?
Oh, hello, Mac.
Didn't think it'd be long.
You mean you saw me when you drove up?
No, just saw that good scotch on the table.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was just out back checking the wood supply.
Oh.
Hey, what brings you up here, Mac? I should think you'd be in town hard after that deal.
Well, the town end of it's okay, Kelly, under control. All I need is your signature.
What?
Tried to catch you at the Paxton place, but you didn't show, so I figured you'd decided to skip it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought it could keep.
Sure, but the Mayberry thing can't. Here, sign this thing and I'll be on my way.
Oh, Mac, I meant to get back to you. I talked to Janice and she isn't interested.
What? Well, that's not what she told me.
What? You talked to her?
This morning. She was worried about my tip, but that lawyer's a good friend of mine. She's convinced.
And she signed already?
Uh-huh. Now you, okay?
Well, sure, okay. Certainly, give me the pen. Right here?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, there you are.
Good.
And now you better get back. We don't want any slip-ups, huh? You came up the back road, didn't you?
Yeah, but I'll go back by the front road. It's faster.
Oh, I don't think so, Mac. I'd take the other way.
No, I'm in a hurry.
But
what?
Look, Mac. Look, do me a favor before you go, will you, fella? Run over these papers on the Paxton property. See if you think my ideas are right.
Gosh, I don't know. Didn't Janice go over?
Oh, yeah, sure. But Paxton's a pretty tough guy to handle, and I'll need all the ideas I can get. Look it over, will you? I'll be right back.
You're trembling as you go out of the door, aren't you, Kelly? Because everything is ruined if you can't talk Mac out of driving down the front road and over the bridge. You've got to stop him, or keep him from leaving at all. You wanted to get rid of him, wanted to tell your own story of the accident. But now you have to settle for the next best thing. If only you can keep him here, if there's something you can do. You glance at his car parked next to yours, hurry over to it, lift the hood. It won't take a minute to fix it so the car won't start. You just get the hood down again as Mac comes out of the cabin waving the papers.
Hey, these look fine to me, Kelly. I'd say you covered all the angles.
Oh, you think so?
As far as I can see. Here, I better be on my way. Can't let any grass grow under our feet on this one.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah. But, what's the matter with this thing? I'm sure it's got gas.
Well, maybe there's a vapor lock in the gas line.
Oh, no, she ought to start. I better have a look.
Hey, listen, Mac.
Huh?
Listen, that sounds like a car coming up the front road.
Oh, it is a car. Well, that settles it. I gotta wait a little while now. One-way road, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right, Mac. You just have to wait. I guess it's Janice. She's meeting me here this afternoon. Supposed to get here about 2.
Oh, that reminds me, Kelly. I forgot to talk.
Hey, Matt.
Huh?
Mac, that's not Janice's car.
No, it isn't, is it? Here, Kelly, I meant to give you this.
Hey, Mac! In fact, that's Vera's car.
Okay, so it's Vera. Maybe this...
Come on. We've got to stop her, Mac. She'll go through the bridge.
What are you talking about?
It's a trap. I thought Janice would be driving up, and I weakened the supports.
You planned that?
Yes, Janice? Yes. Help me, Mac. Help me. Vera. Down. Vera.
Thank you.
Yes, Kelly, it was strange, wasn't it? The way it sneaked up on you. The way the temperature rose slowly, quietly to the boiling point. Now with the temperature back at zero, Vera lies dead in the wreckage at the bottom of the gorge beneath the bridge. The bridge whose supports you'd hacked away to trap Janice, your wife, so you'd be free to marry Vera. And as you stare down in fascinated horror, the words of Mac begin to penetrate the cloud of fog surrounding your brain.
If you hadn't been so insistent on my going over those Paxton papers, this might not have happened.
Paxton papers?
That's right. I had a note for you from Janice.
Janice?
Yeah, she decided not to come and asked me to deliver this when I got here. Every time I try to tell you about it, you interrupted me. Here, you'd better read it while I phone the police.
The police? Oh, wait a minute, Mac.
I can't wait, Kelly. I've got to report a murder. Better take a look at Janice's note.
Yes? I guess I had, Mac. Why not? Dear Kelly, I decided not to meet you at the cabin. For a long time, I felt you no longer loved me. Now I'm sure. I had it out with Vera after you left yesterday. At first, she denied everything, then admitted the two of you were in love. I was tempted to tell her she couldn't have you. Then I realized you weren't worth the fight. So I'm going to Reno, and you'll be free. I have an idea Vera will join you at the cabin. She's your kind, Kelly. I hope you both will be happy. Janet.
Valley 103.1.
Dearie, do you remember when we waltzed to the Sousa band? My, wasn't the music grand? Chowder parties down by the seashore every 4th of July. Test your memory, my dearie. Do you recall when Henry Ford couldn't even fix a running board under a Chandler 6? Dearie, life was cheery in the good old days gone by. Do you remember?
Uh-huh.
If you remember.
Wonderful.
Well, dearie, you're much older than I.
What? Hey, wait a minute, honey. I just got a long memory, that's all.
Dearie, do you remember when we
stayed up all night to get Pittsburgh on a crystal set?
Keystone movies, Coogan and Chaplin, made you laugh and then cry.
Test your memory, my dearie. Do you recall when Orville Wright flew at Kitty Hawk? But take it from me, I would rather walk.
Dearie, life was cheery in the good old days gone by.
Do you remember?
Uh-huh.
If you remember.
Well?
Well, dearie, you're much older than I.
I'll kill you. Dearie, do you remember how they
loved Harry Lauder's act?
My, wasn't the palace packed?
Jenny Lynn, presented by Barnum, sang her sweet lullaby.
Test your memory, my dearie. Chicago all in flames, sure caused a terrific row.
They blamed it on Mrs. O'Leary's cow.
Dearie, life was cheery in the good old days gone by. Do you remember? Well, if you remember, then you're a whole lot older than, quite a bit older than, you're older than
I.
Diamond Detective Agency. Anything for the home. Reconditioned V2 bombs, complete with built-in seat for your mother-in-law's next trip. Also a large stock of 5-second hand grenades for the kiddies in the block.
Rick.
Oh, by the way, we have a special today.
Oh, you have?
Yes, with every 5-ton purchase of dynamite, you get free of charge a nifty nitro tank destroyer kit.
Oh, that's nice.
Great for parties. Plant one in your driveway and give your relatives that extra lift.
Richard Diamond.
Yes?
Oh, you're terrible.
Oh, now you only say that because you're an authority on the subject.
It's a wonder you ever get any clients.
Oh, honey, maybe I've been trying too hard. This week, clients have been as scarce as lobsters on the Sahara.
Oh, no business at all.
Helen, if a client walked in now, I'd probably fall off the chair.
Mr. Diamond. Oh, my goodness.
Rick.
Just being as good as my word, dear.
Can I give you a hand?
No. What else do you want to get rid of?
Rick, what happened?
Oh, someone just walked in.
And you fell?
Yeah, right on...
Rick?
I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
What can I do for you, dear?
Well, my name is Joyce Wallace. I want to hire you.
How do you do, Miss Wallace? Why do you want to hire me?
Because someone tried to kill me.
How?
I was sitting in my living room. Someone took a shot at me through the window.
Your new play opened last week, didn't it?
Ah. You know who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember a number you didn't type. You got a pretty face, too.
But thank you.
Have you gone to the police?
No.
Well, baby, if someone's out gunning for you, the law's your best bet. I think you better go see them.
I can't.
All right, then tell me about it.
Well, as you know, I'm an actress. Mm-hmm. If this got out, it would be all over the papers by tomorrow.
You've had publicity before.
Certainly, and some of it's been very bad. But this time, I can't afford bad publicity.
Oh, well, go on.
You see, my husband and I have separated. I'm trying to retain custody of our child.
And the courts wouldn't like you getting shot at.
Barton, my husband, will try just about anything to get the child away from me.
You're married to Barton Webb.
The playwright.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe he was the one who took the shot at you.
I've thought about that, but it's a little hard to believe.
Why?
Well, we've had a fairly decent relationship up till 6 months ago.
Honey, I've known guys who got mad and slit their wives' throats all in a matter of an hour or so. It doesn't take 6 months to build up to shooting.
Well, that's why I want to hire you. I want you to find out.
Can you think of anyone else who might like you better at the morgue?
Well, I have people who don't like me, certainly.
Certainly.
Why do you agree so quickly?
Sweetheart, look. It stands to reason that half the women who know you would dislike you just because, let's say your bathing suits have an advantage.
Nice. And what about the other half?
Oh, probably like their husbands in a vault. After 6 in the evening.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you take the job, we'll probably spend a lot of time together.
Dear, I've got claustrophobia. If I get nervous, I'll just run my head into a wall or something.
You're hired.
You're jumping the gun. I get $100 a day in expenses.
I have a check.
I'll take it.
There you are.
I certainly am. Well, let's go.
Where to?
Your apartment. I want to look for the bullet.
Good. We can have a drink.
Well, it's a little early, but I could use something cool.
Are you warm?
I think so. I've smoked 3 cigarettes while we've been talking and haven't lighted 1 match. We left the office then with Joyce Wallace in the lead. I followed her down the hall, into the elevator, down to the first floor, where I bought some seasick pills and decided it was better to walk alongside of her. We grabbed a cab, and 20 minutes later, I was standing on a foot-thick carpet surrounded by a very cozy apartment. Cozy. That means $25,000 worth of furniture that you'd never look at when George Wallace is in the room.
You like it?
Oh, but yes. Tell me, when did Mata Hari go in for decorating?
Would you like to see where the bullet came through the window?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's right over here. See?
Yeah.
Mr. Diamond.
Oh, yeah. Well, the bullet. Right through the window. Hmm?
I was standing over there by the sofa when I heard the shot.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm looking for the bullet. It's got to be around here someplace, unless you've already found it.
Oh, why, no. I never even thought to look.
Well, it should be in this wall somewhere.
I'll fix us that drink while you're looking.
Take your time.
What do you like?
Oh, any old thing with Hey, wait a minute. You don't know any midgets, do you?
Whatever do you mean?
Mind if I stand on this chair?
Go ahead. Oh, I see it. The bullet up there by the ceiling.
Yeah, that's what I meant about knowing a midget. Your window's right on the street. If an average man pointed the gun, he was either down on his knees or he was a pretty lousy shot.
Can you pry it out?
Yeah. I got it. Uh-huh. There you are.
What are you going to do with it?
I'll run it down to the 5th Precinct and have ballistics check on it.
That means you're going to see the police.
Well, honey, what else can I do? I don't think the Boy Scouts are equipped for that sort of thing.
I told you I don't want the police brought in on this.
Oh, they won't be. I've got a few friends who'll do the job, and that's that.
Oh. Well, how about that drink?
Oh, I'll take a rain check for later.
Well, it's 4:30 now. I'll be at the theater at 6.
If I don't get back here to you, I'll see you at the theater.
Well, it's the Strand. I'll leave word with the doorman.
Tell me, dear, you don't do another number in tights, do you?
Well, no. Why?
Oh, it's just as well. Last time, my blood pressure went up so high, some guy sitting right behind me got an idea for a new pressure cooker and made a fortune. I'll see you later, dear. She walked me to the door and said something about all work and no play, and then she stood on her toes and kissed me on the forehead. The kiss was effective, all right. When I finally found my way down the hall, I knew just how the first cow in Texas felt right after being branded. I got out into the fresh air, gulped a couple of lungs full, grabbed a cab, and a few minutes later, I was walking into the squad room of the 5th Precinct Police Station. Well, good afternoon, Sergeant.
Oh, what do you want, Shamus?
What do you want, Shamus? Oh, Otis, oh, why don't you be happy? Conform. The worst has happened. They'll never send you back to the jungle.
Ooh.
The lieutenant in?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks, Sporty. So, Otis.
Yeah, what is?
When are you going to get a haircut?
What's the matter with my hair?
Looks like a mountain lion's been sleeping in it. Hello, Walt.
Why don't you leave him alone, Rick?
He's used to it. It'd drive him out of his mind if I walked in someday and didn't say a word.
It would?
Probably.
Why don't you try it?
Oh, you're as bad as I am.
That's a horrible thing to say to me. And by the way, what are you doing down here, Rick? What's going on?
I want a ballistics check on this bullet.
Oh, you do, huh? Where'd you get it?
What?
That bullet.
Well, what do you want to know for?
Because I think you're trying to hide something.
Now, why would I do that, Walt?
Because that's the way you operate. Now, where did you get that bullet?
What bullet?
Now, you stop that. That bullet you got in your hand, that one right there.
This one?
Yes, that one.
What about it?
Where'd it come from?
You want to know?
Of course I want to know.
Well, who can tell you better about a bullet than ballistics?
Yeah. Otis.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
Get in here.
What are you going to do?
Find out about that bullet.
You wanted me, Lieutenant?
No. I just wondered if you'd guessed who it was on my private line. Take this bullet down to ballistics and bring me the report.
Right.
Thanks, Walt. I'll check with you later.
Now, you wait a minute. There was something I was going to ask you.
Yes?
Well, I'll think of it later.
Something about the bullet, Walt?
Yeah, that was...
I let Walt chase me as far as the street, and then I grabbed another cab and headed for my own apartment. It was about 5 o'clock, so I cooked up a short meal, climbed into a shower, and my other suit. At 6 o'clock, I was at the Strand Theater talking with the doorman.
Say, your name's Damon?
Yeah, that's right, Pop.
Well, Miss Wallace said to show you right back, but I don't know whether this is a very good time or not.
Well, she said 6 o'clock. It's 6 now, Pop.
Yeah, but she's got a visitor.
Oh.
Well, come on, I'll show you anyway. Her dressing room is right down this way.
I'm not going to give her up.
Well, my dear, you make us have to anyway.
Oh, you see what I mean, husband?
Yep. You just get out of
here. Still want to go in?
You know,
I think so.
You're just trying to upset me.
I want to settle this thing once and for all.
Good luck. Thanks, Bob.
Well, I don't care. I'm just going to go ahead with my plans.
You better answer the door, darling, if your counsel's arrest.
Hello, Joy.
Oh, come in, Mr. Diamond.
Oh, he's a new one, isn't he?
This is Mr. Diamond, and I have some business I want to talk over with him. Alone.
Well, anyway, you look at him, it certainly would be foolish for me to argue the point. I suppose you chin yourself regularly, Mr. Diamond?
Chins are a hobby with me, Mr. Webb. I've come in contact with several in the past.
A wit. Muscles and wit. This is a new achievement for you, dear.
Please get out of here, Bart. Now.
Good evening, Mr. Diamond. I will say that you're more of a presentable specimen than the others.
You're somewhat of a specimen yourself, Mr. Webb.
Hmm. Another time, Mr. Diamond. Good evening.
Oh, he just won't leave me alone.
Did you tell him about someone trying to take a shot at you?
Well, of course not. He'd go right to the papers. Just what he's looking for. Oh, no.
I'll get it.
I see you made it, all right.
Hello, Pop.
Who is it?
Package for you, Miss Wallace.
Oh, thanks, Pop. Will you take it, Mr. Diamond?
Sure thing. Thanks. Oh, wow. Flowers.
Flowers? Oh, this is his idea of a joke. upset me so I can hardly go on. Then a few seconds later, his flowers arrive.
Barton flowers?
Yes. Sends me yellow roses every Monday.
Look out!
Get back! Oh, it's crawling out!
All right, it's okay now. He's dead. Honey, calm down.
Hey, what's going on here?
Call a doctor, Pop.
What's the shooting all about?
Well, you get out of here and call a doctor. Go on.
Okay. Hey, ain't that a snake?
No, it's an eccentric spaghetti. Now get that doctor. Joyce, you've got to take it easy. The snake's dead. Now calm down, baby.
A snake.
You keep on like this, you'll end up sleeping in a cage. Joyce, will you shut up and listen to me? Okay, honey, sorry. Like I said, sorry, but it's better if you sleep it off. I don't usually like to belt women, but this was one of those times when a case of nerves had to be turned off in a hurry. Like a leaky faucet, pretty soon the tub runs over and something gets rusted. I caught her as she went down, picked her up, carried her over to the couch, and then I left her that way until the doctor arrived.
Oh, no wonder she went off like that. I'd probably end up walking on my hands if somebody sent me a snake.
I think maybe I hit her a little hard.
Best thing you could have done under the circumstances.
She's coming out of it.
I'll give her a mild sedative, calm her down. She'll be all right now after the initial shock has worn off.
Joyce, how do you feel?
Oh, you bully.
Had to do it.
Think you'll be all right now, Miss Wallace?
Who are you?
A doctor. He's going to give you something to make you rest.
He's not going to hit me, too, is he?
Oh, no, just a mild sedative. Calm you down. Make you feel better.
Well, thank you, but I don't need anything. I'll be all right. Besides, I've got a show to do.
Whatever you say.
You are sure it wouldn't be...
Where's the snake?
Oh, dear, Pop just took it out.
Oh. Let me sit up. I'm all right.
Right in here, Captain.
Lieutenant.
Everybody duck.
Aha! Aha. I might have known it.
You might have, but you still got your sergeant around to keep you out of stupor.
Oh, he's picking on me again, Lieutenant.
Look, what in the world is going on here?
The law has landed, Joyce. This is good Lieutenant Levinson. Walt, Miss Joyce Wallace.
Oh, they must be here about the snake.
Yeah, I called him, Miss Wallace.
Who's this guy?
Oh, this guy's a doctor, Walt.
I'm just leaving, Lieutenant. Miss Wallace seems to be all right now.
All right, Doctor. Otis, take him out in the hall. Get his name and address in case we want to talk to him.
All right, Lieutenant. Well, goodbye, Miss Wallace. You just try and relax.
Yes, thank you, Doctor.
All right, Rick. Now, what the devil's going on here? We get a call from the doorman. There's a snake loose in Miss Wallace's dressing room. That someone's been doing some shooting.
Oh, well, snake was loose. I shot it.
That's right, Lieutenant. It's as simple as that.
Oh, it's as simple as that. How'd the snake get in here?
Oh, maybe he was one of her fans.
Now, you stop that.
You find out about that bullet?
Yes, I found out about that bullet. Fired from a Mauser 25. And that's another thing I want
to... Lieutenant, there's really nothing to worry about. A snake got into my dressing room, Mr. Diamond shot it, and that's all.
Miss Wallace, how does a snake get backstage and into a dressing room?
Well, now, let's see. If I was a snake...
All right. I looked the snake. It wasn't poisonous, so I guess it doesn't make much difference.
Wasn't poisonous?
No, Red Heart, just a widow old gopher snake. Now, what about that bullet you had me analyze?
It's part of a case I'm working on. I'll tell you about it later.
Nothing to do with Miss Wallace, I suppose? No connection with the snake at all?
None whatsoever, Lieutenant.
Is this the box the snake came in?
Yeah.
I'll check with the florist.
Yeah, I'll do that, will you? And let me know what you find out.
All right, but Diamond, so help me. If somebody gets killed, I'm going to hold you for complicity.
I bet you can't say it again.
Say what?
Complicity.
Complicity.
You never know.
Thank you for not telling him anything, Mr. Diamond.
Well, there wasn't much to tell. Maybe you'd better help me out, though. Any idea why someone would send you a non-poisonous snake?
Certainly, I have a deathly fear of them. Any kind of snake.
How many people know about this?
My husband.
Anyone else?
No one. I've never told anyone. You see, I was bitten by a snake when I was a little girl in Wyoming. I never got over it.
Oh, well, someone must have known about it then.
My family and a doctor. They're all dead now.
All right. I'm going to leave for a while. Think you'll be all right for the show?
Oh, certainly. I have a little time before curtain.
Oh, by the way, what's your husband's address?
559 East Park. Why?
Well, I'm going over to see him. Find out what kind of presents he's in the habit of sending.
Yes? Oh.
You should be in mourning, Mr. Webb. I just killed a friend of yours.
What?
Maybe you better let me in.
Well, if you're running around exterminating my friends, maybe I'd just better call the police.
Yeah, why don't you do that? Now I'm coming in.
I hardly see...
Oh, yes.
Well, you're in. Can I get you a drink, Mr. Diamond?
I haven't got much time. I want a few answers.
Well, at least take your hat off. I don't like being intimidated, but if I must be subjected to your roughhouse tactics, I prefer you to be polite.
If I get the right answers, I'll be so polite, I'll even apologize and I'll break your leg.
I really think I'd better call the police.
Did you send your wife a snake?
Has Joyce taken up the bottle?
Which leg do you want me to start on?
Don't be ridiculous. Of course, I didn't send my wife a snake.
Did you send her flowers?
Yellow roses. I have a standing order with the florist every Monday night.
Well, this Monday, there was a snake in them.
You're serious?
How do I look?
Well, that is a very provocative question.
Look, Buster, let her not...
Good grief. If someone did send Joyce a snake, she must be in a complete state of hysterics. She hates them.
Do you own a Mauser 25, Mr. Webb?
Why, yes. How did you know that?
I didn't. Can I see it?
No, as a matter of fact, it disappeared a couple of days ago.
That's a little thin.
Mr. Diamond, I assure you that if I could show you the gun, I would be most happy to. Loaded and pointing right at your overdeveloped chest.
You say it disappeared a couple of days ago, Sure about that?
Of course. I kept it in my bureau drawer. When I got up in the morning, it was there, and that evening I went to get a handkerchief and the gun was gone.
Nothing else moved? No indication of robbery?
No.
Who has the key to the apartment besides yourself? Your wife?
Mr. Diamond, a moment ago you told me someone had set my wife a snake. I mentioned that she must be in a complete state of hysterics. Then you start this ridiculous questioning about my missing gun. Now, if my wife was hysterical, by now she's probably looking for the top of her head. Now, get out of my way.
Hey, where do you think you're going?
My wife and I may have our differences, Mr. Diamond, but unfortunately for me, I still love her.
Oh?
And if you ever tell her I said so, muscles or no, I shall assert myself and beat your head off.
Oh, relax. She's all right. She's probably doing her show right now.
Nevertheless, I'll thank you to remove your oversized hulk and let me go to her.
Someone also took a shot at her.
What? Well, now I am going to the police.
She thinks you did it in order to gain custody of the child.
Well, she certainly deserves to think so. I'm not exactly an easy person to live with. Now, please.
If this gets to the papers, Mr.
You have my word.
Now, one more question. Did you ever tell anyone about your wife's fear of snakes?
Positively not.
Oh, mind if I make a phone call?
If you like.
You admit sending your wife the yellow roses?
I admit sending my wife some yellow roses. I deny having anything to do with the snake.
Homicide, Lieutenant Levinson.
What'd you find out about flowers, Walt?
Husband sent them, a Mr. Barton Webb.
I'm with him right now.
Good for you. But there's no possible way he could have gotten a snake in that box. Flowers were sent over by a messenger. The snake had to be put in between the stage door and her dressing room.
Well, Pop, the doorman, brought him in. Maybe he did it.
I'm going down to question him.
Okay, Walt. I'll keep in touch.
Please do that. I couldn't stand it if everything suddenly started to work normally.
Well, did you find out how I put the snake in the box, Mr. Diamond?
No, but I'm still interested.
I'll get it. Yes? Well, hello. Yes. Yes, dear. All right, I'll be right over.
Leaving?
Unless you'd care to wrestle. Stay as long as you like, though. Pour yourself a drink. The poison is in the red decanter.
You know the poison was in the red decanter? I stood there a minute, getting that lousy feeling again. The logical person to have fired the shot and sent the snake was Barton Webb. But my instinct said no. I remembered Walt had said he was going over to question Pop the doorman at the theater, so I took off fast in the hope of beating him there. The theater was only four blocks away, so I ran it.
Well, hello there, Mr. Diamond.
Hey, Pop, the law's on the way over here to pick you up.
Yeah, for what?
Well, they think maybe you put that snake in the box of flowers.
Well, I didn't, and they're going to have a hard time proving anything else.
Tell me, what did the guy look like who delivered the box?
Young kid.
Wearing a uniform?
No, just looked like one of the kids in the block. Matter of fact, I thought it was kind of funny, a kid like that delivering for a fancy florist. The fellow who delivered the other box was all get up in a nice blue outfit.
What of the box?
Came right after you left. Looked like it was from the same florist.
Thanks, Pop. Is Miss Wallace on stage now?
No. She ain't in her dressing room either.
Her understudy take her place?
Yep. Miss Wallace didn't think she could go on. How did you know that?
I'll see you later, Pop.
I want to know where...
Oh, no. Hello, Walt.
Oh, no.
Hi, Walt.
Oh, no.
Well, I tore it right down the middle. I left the theater, headed across town in a hurry. Started adding things up. Webb owned a Mauser 25, but it was missing. A Mauser 25 had been used to take a shot at Joyce. Webb always sent yellow roses on Monday night. Yellow roses had come, and there'd been a snake in them. Something that Joyce had feared, and only one other living person besides herself supposedly knew about her fear.
Two boxes of flowers had arrived at the theater. Webb openly admitted sending one bunch. Suddenly, everything was tying together, even a motive. Thanks, Gary. Keep the change.
All right, thanks.
Here he comes.
Get away from me, Barton.
Oh, good grief. All right, toss the gun over here. Over here.
Oh, Mr. Diamond, he was going to kill me.
Oh, dear.
Mr. Diamond.
Yes, Mr. Diamond. You ruined the door.
He was going to kill me.
Was he?
Of course I was.
Barton.
Or wasn't he, baby?
Yes, of course.
Of course. Good evening, Mr. Diamond. Looks to me like Joyce had the gun.
Well, I was trying to protect myself. He threatened to kill me.
It runs in the family. Instead of an anniversary, we have a funeral. The Webbs have always killed their wives. An old custom fought by my great-grandfather.
Barton, shut up!
This gun is a Mauser 25.
What did you expect? A crossbow?
Who does it belong to?
Me!
You told me your gun was swiped a couple of days ago, Barton.
Once I explained to a drama critic that my only claim to fame was talent.
Don't listen to him, Mr. Diamond. That's my gun.
It's mine, and I can prove it.
And you were the one who shot at Joyce from outside the window?
Naturally.
Which window did you shoot through?
What?
No, which? Which window, quick?
Why, how do I know which window? I did it in such a hurry.
Where was Joyce standing? You must remember that.
I refuse to answer you. These questions are completely ridiculous.
But if you did take a shot at her, you also sent her the...
Oh, stop it. Stop it, both of you.
Well, he did, didn't he?
Of course I did.
Martin, why in the world do you stand there and admit these things?
Well, why not, my dear? I should think you might at least be grateful.
Grateful? Oh, I know you better than that, Martin Webb. You've got some crummy scheme up your sleeve.
Crummy?
Oh,
despicable. Despicable, that's what I meant. You have some pestigo, get me.
Well, it's going to be on, and at least feed your line slowly. Slowly, do you hear? Slowly!
Despicable!
Both of you, shut up. You admit sending the snake, Barton?
Yes, I do.
He does not.
I most certainly do.
You're a liar.
What?
Yes, he's a liar, Mr. Barton. I'll tell you all about it.
Joyce!
No, I'll tell you. You came to me because you said someone was trying to kill you. Shot at you through a window. Maybe Barton.
Of course, I told you!
Oh, shut up! Then a snake arrives in a box of flowers. Looks like Barton sent that, too.
I did?
You did like the devil. Two boxes of flowers came to the theater tonight. One of them was yours, Barton. The other one you sent yourself, Joyce. You put a snake in it and had some kid deliver it.
I did?
Yes, and another thing. Barton left me in his apartment a good 20 minutes ago. If he was going to kill you, he'd certainly have done it by now.
The Webbs are naturally lazy.
You took his gun a few days ago, Joyce. You called him and told him to meet you here, hoping I'd follow. Then you were going to make it look like he'd attempted to kill you.
Oh!
Joyce, darling. I swear, Diamond, that at the first opportunity, I'm going to start working out at a reputable gym, and eventually I shall engage you in physical combat.
No, he's right. Mr. Diamond, you're right.
Yes, and the motive. You were afraid he was going to take away the one thing you loved, your child.
Martin, why didn't you just come right out and tell him? Why did you admit to something that wasn't as tall as so?
My motive will not be discussed.
Oh, the little brain was feeling a twinge of conscience. Pretty noble, too. He was willing to take the rap for all the trouble he'd given you in the past.
What?
Well, it was really nothing.
He's still in love with you, Joyce.
What?
Yeah, and I think you two better sit down and talk it over. Believe me, you deserve each other.
Oh.
There, darling. There.
No, you could get in a lot of trouble for this. But I'll straighten it out with the law.
Oh, Mr. Diamond, how can I ever thank you?
My George. You know, you're not such a bad fellow after all.
Look, let's get something straight right now. I've been made a patsy and my feelings are hurt. I may not get over it until I get a big, fat bonus in the mail. No later than tomorrow.
Muscular, witty, and to top it off, a businessman. Mr. Diamond, I think you have a future.
What's that you're playing, Rick?
Oh, it's a new song, dear.
What's it from?
Show that opened last week.
Oh, the one your client is in?
Mm-hmm. She does it in one of those real tight evening gowns. You know the type.
Mm-hmm. And so do you.
Well, it's a pretty song.
Let me hear it.
Okay.
Well, 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 look who's here. I haven't seen you in many a year. If I knew you were coming, I'd bake the cake.
Bake the cake, bake the cake. If I knew you were coming, I'd bake the cake. How'd you do, how'd you do, how'd you do? Had you dropped me a letter, I'd have hired a band. Grandest band in the land. Had you dropped me a letter, I'd have hired a band and spread the welcome mat for you. Now I don't know where you came from, cause I don't know where you've been, but it really doesn't matter. Grab a chair and fill your platter and dig, dig, dig right in. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked the cake, hired a band. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked the cake. How'd you do, how'd you do, how'd you do? Now I don't know where you came from, cause I don't know where you've been, but it really doesn't matter. Grab a chair and fill your platter and dig, 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 run in. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked the cake, hired a band. Goodness sake, if I knew you were coming, I'd have baked the cake. How'd you do, how'd you do, how'd you do? Oh, how'd you do, how'd you do, how'd you do? Well, honey, how'd you like that?
Well, I don't know why she has to sing that in an evening gown.
Well, she doesn't have a very good voice, dear.
Rick, I can't sing at all.
Sweetheart, you could come on in a tent doing 12 courses of Down in the Canebrake, and the critics would lock Joyce Wallace in the zoo.
You really think so?
Let's go buy a tent.
Oh, Rick, don't be silly. I couldn't wear a tent.
Well, you could try. If it doesn't work, I know a camping spot in the Catskills.
Oh, Rick.
Thrifty diamond.
Yes, I know. Never waste a good tent.
Moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
And you are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 103.1, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge. The door is slowly closing for Radio Masterpieces, but be sure and tune in again next week from 9 to 10 p.m. to listen to more wonderful mysteries from the 1940s and 50s. This is Bruce Kaplan signing off. Radio Masterpieces is a Seattle Miracle Incorporated production.